Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." When you hear a preacher on a regular basis, you have certain expectations. For example, me. I've preached over 70 different sermons in this congregation. And whether you're thinking about it or not, there are certain things that you've come to expect. You have a sense of my style. You might expect a personal story or experience. You might expect that I might talk about the ancient culture that the texts were written in. You're not surprised if I explain the meaning of words in the original language of the Bible. You're not surprised at all when I tell you that the assigned Bible reading for the day applies to our life today. And you expect that I'm going to end my sermon with a prayer where God speaks to us. After his baptism and temptation in the wilderness, Jesus went from town to town, village to village, synagogue to synagogue, preaching. And then Luke, the storyteller, tells us Jesus returns to preach in the synagogue of his hometown, Nazareth. Jesus grew up there. The people knew him. He certainly read scripture and preached a sermon there before. Perhaps many. So the people had expectations of his sermon style, and they had expectations of his message. So the rabbi gives Jesus a scroll of the prophet Isaiah to read. This was long before the days of assigned Bible readings as we have today. So Jesus unrolls the scroll and finds a passage to read. And what he reads is no surprise. What Jesus reads is a passage that's dear to the hearts of the people of his day. Isaiah is talking about the coming of Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus reads, is upon the Messiah. And the Messiah will do great things for the people. The people who have experienced poverty, the people who have been in captivity as slaves, the people who have had illnesses. A lot of that illness was blindness because of the desert sand. They've been oppressed by foreign nations for centuries. The Greek word for oppressed is literally broken into pieces. The people are broken. And they've been waiting a long time for Messiah, a long time for the Savior. The text that Jesus selected was a popular text in those days. Well known. Almost everyone would have had it memorized. And when he finished reading, Jesus sat down, we're told. By sitting down, he was taking the position of preacher, of teacher. Not like today where the preacher stands. In those days, they sat. And when Jesus began to preach, their eyes were fixed on him. And this congregation had certain expectations. Now, I can pretty much tell you the message that they expected. They obviously didn't do sermon titles back in those days, but if there were a sermon title, they would have expected the title to be Someday. This was their favorite sermon theme. Someday. Someday the Messiah will come. Someday you won't be materially or spiritually poor. Someday you'll be set free from oppressive governments. Someday you'll be healed. The people in the days of Jesus loved that message. They wanted to hear that message in some form every time they gathered in synagogue. They expected the message. Someday. Someday the Messiah, a Savior, will come. That's what they were expecting. So Jesus sits down and their eyes are fixed on him. And with one sentence, really one word, he shattered those expectations. Today. Not someday. He said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today is the day. That's nothing. Nothing like what they were expecting. They were expecting someday. And why would this hometown boy say today? We're still oppressed by Rome. We're still in captivity. We're still poor. We're still waiting for Messiah. How could this preacher say that today is the day? The storyteller Luke uses the Greek word for today more times than the rest of the New Testament writings combined. Today was Luke's word. The angels tell the shepherds, today in the city of David, the Savior, the Messiah, is born to you. He said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. On the cross, Jesus tells a man being crucified with him, today you will be in paradise with me. And it's not a coincidence that Luke puts the word today at the beginning of a sentence. The word today really matters to the storyteller Luke. Now it's this word today that's a bridge into our lives. Luke is teaching us Jesus is your Messiah today. Jesus is your Savior today. Luke is, in effect, asking us, his future readers, what's going on in your life right now? Do you have poverty? Are you materially poor? Are you low on money, food, clothing, or housing? Do you have a poverty of love? Do you have poverty of hope? Jesus is here today. Are you captive? Are you prisoner of an illness? Remember, Luke was a physician and was concerned about the sicknesses of people. Are you sick in any way? Jesus is here today. Are you a prisoner of addiction? Are you a prisoner of anger? Are you a prisoner of a past mistake? Are you a prisoner of a past sin? Jesus is here today. Are you blind? Physically blind or partially blind? Or have problems with your eyes? Do you have emotional or spiritual blindness, darkness of the soul? Are you blind to the love of God present in your life right now? Jesus is here today. Are you oppressed? Are you oppressed by violence or racism or bullies? Are you oppressed by grief or sorrow? Are you broken in any way? Jesus is here today. Today's scripture is teaching us, if any of these kinds of things are happening in your life, Jesus enters in today with good news. Jesus is here today. And Jesus formed a church to continue his work. We as the church, as the body of Christ, do what Jesus did. Today is the day for us, the church, to love others. Today is the day to forgive. Today is the day to protect those who are bullied. Today is the day to feed the hungry. Today is the day to give shelter to the homeless. Today is the day to minister to the lonely, to the grieving. Today is the day to minister to those who are hurting in any way. Today is the day to turn away from sin. Today is the day for healing. Jesus is here. Today is the day. Let us pray. Loving God, your children, including us, suffer with poverty. Some with not enough money, food, basic needs, not enough love, not enough hope. Jesus enters and says, today is the day I am here for you. Loving God, your children, including us, are captive to sin, sickness, and suffering. And Jesus enters in and says to us, today is the day I am here for you. Loving God, your children, including us, suffer from physical and spiritual blindness. And Jesus enters in. Today is the day I am here for you. Loving God, your children, including us, suffer from oppression and are broken. And Jesus enters in and says, today is the day I am here for you. Today is the day I am here for you. Today is the day I am here for you.